Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, welcome back. Still Liverpool 1, Barcelona 0. We have Eric Donovan on the line. Evening, Eric.
Good evening, lads.
Thanks a million for joining us. So we wanted to get your thoughts on the fight of the weekend, really. Probably the fight of the year thus far. I don't know if it lived up to his billing. That's one of the questions I have for you. But Canelo Alvarez won what was generally seen to be a pretty close but still uncontroversial decision over Daniel Jacobs. It was a middleweight unification fight in Las Vegas. Generally, most people felt it was the right decision. It wasn't the most controversial of points decisions.
No, it was just typical, kind of a standard Canelo win, wasn't it? Especially on the Cinco de Mayo celebrations as well. Big Mexican holiday. And yeah, he was just in control throughout. Like, I was expecting if there was any middleweight out there to trouble or beat Canelo, that it would be Jacobs. But I was a little bit disappointed in his efforts. I thought he could have done a bit more, especially from the earlier half of the fight. First half of the fight, he just didn't impose himself on it and didn't use his strengths and his qualities and his sheer size. He just stood off Canelo Alvarez and allowed Canelo to kind of just put rounds in the bank.
Yeah.
And he'd done something in I think it was the sixth round, he turned southpaw and had a bit of success. And then Canelo responded in the following round and kind of put him back in his box in a way to kind of like, how dare you have success in a southpaw stance, you know? Mm-hmm. And he kind of just, told him, I'm the boss here, I'm the champ. And yeah, and he didn't really respond. He didn't really respond back to that. He had a good finish to the round as well, but maximum four rounds, but probably get him around three rounds. It was a Canelo win.
Yeah.
Easy win.
And you mentioned the size difference there. Like, Jacobs has about a 3.5-inch reach on Canelo, and he's probably 2 or 3 inches in height as well. So he's got a major size advantage, and he couldn't seem to make that count.
No, because seemed like in the initial, earlier part of the fight, he was trying to counter punch Canelo. But it just wasn't working out for him. Single shots is not going to suffice against Canelo. You're going to have to outwork him. You see how busy he is, his intensity, his work rate, his punches are high volume, very high volume, and he doesn't anything you get from him, you have to work very hard for it. So single shots is not going to be enough. The only time a single shot, I suppose, could benefit you is if you landed clean and you rattle him and you can follow up with a second onslaught and maybe, you know, push him back or something. But it just wasn't enough. I felt like even Jacob switching from southpaw to orthodox momentarily in the second half of the fight showed that he ran out of plans, ran out of ideas.
Is that generally seen as a bit gimmicky within the pro ranks?
There's very few people that can do it and do it like so effectively in both stances, and those type of people are like Crawford. Crawford is as good a southpaw as he is orthodox. Michael Conlon is quite good at it as well. He's pretty good at it. But there isn't too many at the very top level. I don't like to see it at all. I think like if Jacobs is an orthodox boxer and has been all his life, then he should believe in what he has and what he's been trained to do. He should believe that he's good enough to beat Canelo.
Yeah.
And I felt like even in the first few rounds, he didn't kind of impose himself on Canelo. Like, he didn't say, right, I'm here to take these titles from you. It was almost like too much respect. Too much respect shown. He landed a big punch, like people were saying, it's the biggest punch of the fight. I think it was around round 9 or 10. But Canelo seen that punch coming in his peripheral vision, and he rolled the punch. He rolled the punch. Mm. The punch landed on his jaw, but as soon as it touched his face, Canelo just turned his head, which showed the ability and how comfortable he was to be in the pocket, even that close, up close and in the pocket. Mm. He knew that he still had the ability to evade and and I kind of like ride that big hook and hook and punch from Jacob.
Yeah, no, I saw you tweeting about that actually. I presume not everybody has that skill. One, because it's probably very difficult to learn for obvious reasons.
It's a sore one to learn.
I would think so. And two, to be comfortable enough to judge the speed of the punch and effectively, as contact is about to be made with your face, to turn your head in the direction the punch is going towards, effectively to negate the punch. That can't be an easy skill when we're talking about top-level operators throwing the punches.
No, it's definitely not an easy skill, but it's one that the Mexicans tend to practice and they tend to go for it. It's just, it's not like it's impossible. Like for the non-boxing fans looking at it, they would think, wow, how can you do that?
Yeah.
But I would actually put it down to instinct. Like if you're trying it and if you're putting yourself in those positions, you know, week in, week out for years upon years, it's like a soccer player going for a tackle, say, and pulling out at the last second, instinctively, knowing that if he left his leg there, it's going to be like, he's going to be seriously damaged.
Yeah.
So it's just like they know instinctively just to pull it out at that last second or to ride the tackle or to, you know.
Yeah.
I guess minimize the impact.
Instinctively, you're not going to turn your head into the punch, are you? So I guess there's an element.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And sometimes I suppose you would, it's all about taking the power out of the punch. Sometimes you might not get it right and it would be a sore one. But I think if you can go with the punch, in any way away from it and go in the direction of the punch, you can definitely take the power out of it. I suppose Mayweather was kind of the opposite. He would ride the punches, but with his shoulders. So he did it a little bit differently. But again, it's just a skill that needs to be practiced.
So Canelo is what, 3 or 4 fights now into his 11-fight, $365 million deal with DAZN, and in terms of his next fight, it's not bad. It's not bad. I know you're fighting a York call soon. We'll do a comparison in a minute and see how they match up. So Golovkin always gets mentioned. A third fight with Golovkin would commercially do very well, and they're both obviously with DAZN, so you would think it's easy enough to make. Alvarez though is talking about Demetrius Andrade. He usually fights in September for Mexican Independence Day. He's keen because nobody in Mexico has ever won all 4 belts in one division. That's my motivation, he was saying. What fight would you prefer to see, Eric?
Well, I think he's going to do that. He's going to head towards Andrade, and you know, Andrade will be offered a crazy amount of money that he won't be able to turn down. And I can see Canelo unifying the whole division and becoming the first Mexican to do that. I probably see him getting another crack at Golovkin. I thought Golovkin, I know opinions were split and I've argued with so many people. I thought Golovkin won the first fight, that was a draw.
Right.
I thought he lost the second one, but they'll probably fight again. But I find that it's getting harder for Golovkin to win now. Golovkin's 34, 35. I think he might be 36. I'm not sure. But he's going in the opposite, going away from peak form. But they'll probably fight again. And then I suppose it's just maybe Billy Joe Saunders would love a crack at him. Like, he's going to have to find some middleweights to fulfill that contract. There's not too many out there. He might even fight Jacobs again.
Right.
But he seems to have it all sewn up, really. What did you say? He's 3 fights in, 4 fights in?
Yeah, he's got an 11-fight deal, $365 million. So he's like 3-weight world champion now, and he's on course to unify the middleweight division. I'm curious as to where Canelo stands in the sport, given the ban last year, you know? So
yeah, the ban is really, really...
He tested positive twice for clenbuterol and received a 6-month ban. Now, he blamed contaminated meat, and there is this long-standing problem in Mexico where farmers often use clenbuterol in cattle feed because it reduces fat and it increases lean muscle in livestock, as it does in humans. So you can see the benefit. And then there's another problem in that World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA. There's no way to show whether clenbuterol positives were due to doping or if they were in the contaminated meat. So there is always the possibility that
it's just a loophole, isn't it?
Yeah, potentially. And, you know, he wouldn't be the first who's blamed contaminated meat and given that as the reason. Contador did the same thing. But, like, Contador got a 2-year ban, the cyclist, and he got a 6-month ban. So he was back fighting Golovkin you know, to become a three-weight world champion in September.
Yeah.
Like, for about the last 10 years, WADA have been warning about the dangers of meat in Mexico, and you would presume that Alvarez has the money to pay for decent meat or to source his food properly, you know?
Yeah.
And like, Pauly Malignaggi was on recently enough, and he was kind of saying, like, doping is much worse in this sport than anybody assumes, you know? And I'm just wondering, in that context, how we feel about Alvarez right now. Is there a massive question mark over him?
I don't feel the same about him. I remember anyone that would... I remember talking to anybody about Canelo Alvarez years ago. I talk about, you know, a 15-year-old kid who turned professional, gave up on his education, come out of a very tough environment. Guadalajara in Mexico, very, very tough place. And, you know, used boxing as a way of making a great life for himself. And think about all of the boxers who box coming up along the ranks. I mean, Shane Mosley, Cotto, all of these guys. But then, you know, as soon as the news broke about the clenbuterol, and I didn't know much about this clenbuterol steroid, and I looked it up, and, you know, the benefits and strengths of clenbuterol is just unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable what it can do to the human body in terms of building oxygen, fat burning, building muscle, high energy, giving you a high energy system. You know, just it's enough to make a killing machine, you know, especially when it comes to boxing. And just a very, very dangerous kind of, what do you call it, medication or a steroid. Like, you know, if it can, like, you can do serious damage. And when I put the two and two together, I haven't been able to look at Canelo the same. Every time Canelo's name is mentioned to me now, I don't think of this 15-year-old kid who came up out of Guadalajara, one of the toughest environments. I think the first thing I think of is clenbuterol.
And especially when he's fighting a guy who's, what, 3.5 inches taller, or 3.5 inches in reach advantage, but certainly he had 2 or 3 inches on him in height as well, and he's a three-weight world champion. It's difficult to separate that. And Ronan outside was just mentioning, you know, you take Anthony Joshua's next fight. He had been due to fight Jarrell Miller, but then Miller goes and tests positive for pretty much a cocktail, really, of human growth hormone and EPO.
Absolutely.
And it
crazy.
seems that was only caught because Joshua, it's a stipulation in all his fights that he signs up to the voluntary anti-doping agency, as in, you know, I'm going to be tested regularly in the build-up to this fight, as will my opponent. But, like, you have to pay for that. Like, Joshua's paying about 30 grand,
Joshua's
I think.
Joshua's paying for it.
Yeah. So if Joshua is not paying for the testing, then he fights Miller. He fights Miller, who's on a cocktail of EPO and human growth hormone. Yeah. And you listen to someone like Malignaggi saying, like, this is going on all the time. And then you see the ban that Alvarez is getting, like a measly 6 months. Are you being tested? I know it is, to be fair, probably a different level when there's millions on the line and whatever. But like, what's your sense of what's going on? And you're talking different federations as well.
Yeah, I used to be tested when I was a high performance athlete representing Ireland for over 10 years. I used to be tested consistently about 4 times a year.
Right.
Every 3 months of the year, I was tested without fail. As a professional, I'm professional 3 years now. I haven't been tested once. I'm 9 fights into my career, 9 wins, 5 wins by knockout. I haven't been tested once. I think it's an absolute disgrace that the governing bodies of the professional boxing aren't putting paying for these dope testing and putting them in place, putting these proper structures in place for the health and safety of the boxers. Joshua having to pay. I know Joshua's worth a nice few bob, but he shouldn't have to pay. He shouldn't have to be paying for that kind of stuff. That should be whatever governing body you're fighting, whatever belt you're fighting for, whether it's the WBC or the IBF, those guys, they should be putting in a proper structure in place, doping structure, for 3 months or 6 months before. I know it's hard, 6 months before a fight, because the fight is probably only announced 12 weeks, 3 months out. But they should pay for that 12 weeks out. You know, you're talking about Miller there. You know, Baby Miller, Big Baby Miller. He was offered, or he was getting about $5.5 million to fight Joshua. Enough unbelievable money, unbelievable. And he goes and does something like that. And then has the cheek to send out a video and say, "I'm sorry, guys, I messed up. I'll be back." And but that's the fourth time. That's the fourth time that he has failed. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, and at the top 10 heavyweights in the world right now, five of the top 10 heavyweights in the world have failed drug tests. Some of them more than once. Povetkin is another one. Like, there has to be much more stricter penalties. You talk about Canelo being banned for 6 months. Sure, Canelo takes 6 months rest after each fight.
Exactly, yeah.
So he wasn't, there's no punishment there.
No, that was the sense at the time. And like, you're back in action, you're fighting in York Hall, Saturday, June 22nd, opponent to be confirmed. I mean, look, if you haven't been tested in 9 fights over 3-4 years, then, and I'm not casting aspersions, by the way, on your next opponent, but pretty sure he hasn't been tested either. So even as a fighter, you don't know quite what you're potentially going up against. Like, that, it's just crazy. And there is plenty of money in the sport. So it struck me with the Alvarez thing. The reason I asked you is just in the coverage generally, you know, like watching the fight or kind of like reading about it, it just feels like ancient history. And I'm kind of, I'm curious, how has this kind of just been, oh, okay. It's just, we forget about that now. That was 2018. And that it was interesting to get your take on his place in the sport.
Yeah, I can't look at him the same. But like I said, the Latinos, the Latin Americans, the Mexicans, they all love him. They absolutely love him. And they wouldn't doubt him for 1 second. I'd say it goes into one ear and out through the other. I don't think they'd feel any different about him. But I think anyone, you know, with a bit of love and passion for the sport would like to see it, you know, cleaned up a bit and a lot more safer for boxers going forward. It's tough enough. It's a brutal sport. You put your body through the mill as it is. But when you get fatigued in the ring, it's a very, very difficult, hard place. And if you're in a 12-round fight, and you're fatigued in round 7, round 8, and you've nothing left, and your legs are like jelly, and your opponent now is getting a second kick of this whatever steroid he has in his body, and he's only coming into the floor, and he's actually getting second wind, getting a new burst of oxygen, strength, power. Yeah. It's very dangerous. GBH. People say, like, you know, if you're consciously choosing to take that stuff, you should be done for GBH.
Yeah, it's pretty grim, actually. Right. Well, on that sour note, York Hall beckons 22nd of June. We're going to hear your opponent in the next couple of days, I'm hearing?
Yeah, I have the date. The date and the slot on the card all confirmed. So we just need to source an opponent now. So hopefully it's a good opponent that would give me a good test and good rounds.
And a great venue as well. It's a great venue. Pretty cool going there. You know, Katie Taylor had a fight there a year or two ago, and it was a great occasion. Like, it's a nice one to tick off.
All the greats have boxed there as well. You know, Ben Eubank, McGuigan has boxed there. You know, Bruno's boxed there. Sir Henry Cooper's boxed there. You know, a lot of great boxers have boxed there. It's a very famous boxing venue. So a nice box ticked for me on a personal level. I have a lot of family in Colchester as well. My dad lives there, my brother lives there, and I've a lot of cousins down around there. So I'm expecting to get a nice crowd. And there's a good few people, surprisingly enough, making the trip over. So
good.
Yeah, that's kind of really that's motivating for me. It's good. It's all good. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, good man. Thanks many for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe. See
Cheers,
ya.
Eric Donovan there. And several of you have texted in. I do this every time. I can only apologize. It's just like a mental block with what I now know is called DAZone, and I'm calling it DAZN. I never hear of this bloody channel except for when I read about it on paper and I see the DAZN and I panic. And I know, Kenny, I don't know how to pronounce it, and every time I go for a different guess. So even though I know it's DAZN, the next time we're talking about this, I will look at these four letters again and just take a punt, and anything could come out of my mouth, but I apologize for that. We're taking a short break. We'll have Pat Nevin on the football show. Kenny's watching second half from Anfield. Next goal is going to be a biggie.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.